You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
Well, the Lord is, we've heard this term, you know, that awakening, especially the last 2-3 years, awakening. It's like people are awakening to things that the Lord is wanting them to give their attention to. It's like there's an alertness coming into people's hearts. And God is saying, listen, I need you to give attention to this. I need you to look at this situation. I need you to give your attention to my call on your life. I need you to engage. The Word of God says in Joel chapter 2 that in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. It says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. All the people will dream dreams. And God is doing something on the face of this earth today that we have never seen in our lives before. I don't know how long you've known the Lord. I don't know what experiences you had with the Lord in the past. But it's nothing in comparison for what's ahead of us in the present time we are living in. God is about to surprise you, to bless you out of your socks. God is about to give you a different viewpoint. God is about to give you a different outlook on life because His Spirit, His glory is filling your life. He is taking all the space you are giving Him. The more space you're giving, the more He'll take and the more He will invade. There's an invasion of God's glory upon His bride in this very hour, in this very time. And God is saying, awake, wake up. He said to His disciples, He said to them in John chapter 4, in verse 35, He says, wake up. The harvest is ready. You are looking at 4 months since you planted up until you reaping. But wake up. Look at everything around you. Look at the kingdom. Look how the kingdom is operating. Wake up. There's a divine intervention that I want to bring and establish through your life. The latter days doesn't mean old days. The latter days means new days. It means there's a new expression of God's intentions. It means there's a new expression of God's glory. It means there's a new expression of how God is wanting to do certain things through our lives. We just need to discern. We just need to wake up. Who of you, when you wake up in the morning, stays in bed until tonight again? No, when you wake up, what is your response? You have to create some movement, okay? You have to get your feet and put them on the floor. You have to rise up and you have to engage in this new day that the Lord has made. I want to say to you, this is a new day that the Lord has made and it's looking different than yesterday. There's a present truth that is resounding in the earth today. There's a present truth that Peter says, listen, there's a present truth and I need you to engage in this. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done yesterday. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done 10 years ago. I'm thankful for everything that the Lord has done in my life, but I'm not satisfied. I know there's more because God is limitless. This is a new day. This is a new day. Wake up, Jesus says. The harvest is ready. Don't look at the natural. Get engaged in the kingdom, in the fourth dimension. Get engaged in what my viewpoint is. Get engaged of what my outlook is. I want you to rise up because I'm calling you up. I'm calling you up. Isaiah was standing in the presence of God and he was hearing who God wanted to say. He was saying, who shall we send? And because he was standing in the holiness of God, he says, nevertheless, I want to go. I'll go. Let us go. Let us not look at our natural circumstances because they will bow the knee. They will get aligned. They will get corrected. The natural circumstances will line up with God's purpose for your life, with God's intentions for your life, with God's instructions that He's giving His people today. Follow the Lord. We read in 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 1 to 7, we read about Elisha helping a widow. This widow is in dire straits. Let's read from verse 1. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband, who served you, is dead. And you know he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." The historian Josephus pins down this prophet who died was Obadiah, that served King Ahab and also his son Jerome. Now, Obadiah was a wealthy prophet. He used all his resources to protect the prophets in Israel because Jezebel wanted to silence the voice of God and kill the prophets. So he took the prophets and he hid 50 in one cave and he hid the other 50 in another cave. And he fed those prophets, he looked after those prophets, and he used all his resources to be sure that those prophets will live and the voice of God would continue. He was a selfless man. He was unselfish. He gave everything he had to the kingdom. He made sure that the purpose of God would prevail in Israel. And he served the kingdom of God. His family served the kingdom of God. If you want to be a powerful person for the Lord on this earth today, become selfless. And the modern day Elijahs are being raised up by the Lord. That spirit of Elijah is a selfless spirit. It's a spirit that sacrifices. It's a spirit that surrenders. It's a spirit that walks humbly before the Lord. John was walking in the spirit of Elijah and he said, "Let me become less and you become more, Lord." That's the spirit that God is raising up. That's the people. That's the new breed the Lord is raising up today on the face of this earth. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. It's not about the gift. It's about the giver. I want to know him. I want to be encapsulated in his heart. I want to be one with him. Those who are joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Lord, allow me to become less and you become more. Let your light shine, Lord, not my light shine. Selfless. More selfless we become, the more powerful we become, the more influential we become, the more we express the heart of God. The more we carry his concerns. These are the people that the Lord is raising up today. But something happens to Obadiah. I don't know what, but he dies. A family, God-fearing family, God-serving family, living in a community of prophets, covenant people. Hello? I'm sorry, I don't believe, I try, I, no, no, can't happen. Only health, wealth, and happiness. Sorry. Who of you has come to understand sometimes trauma comes? Who of you has come to understand if you live long enough, you will face tragedy? But it's not about that's what's coming against you. It's about who's the one living inside of you that counts, my brother, my sister. The one that you can trust. The one that you've got a relationship with. It's not about the prophet title. It's not about the apostle title. Because that title does not say that. That's not your ministry. Your relationship with the Lord, that's your ministry. That'll always be your ministry. And everything that flows out of your life should be birthed in the secret place and released from the secret place. Covenant family. Tragedy hits. Obadiah dies. Now, He's left his family with debt. Creditors come, knocking at his wife's door. And you know the enemy? If he can't get hold of you, he'll come after the things that are most precious to you. He's a real coward. So if he can't get hold of you, he'll come for your kids. If he can't get hold of you, Steve, he'll try your wife. He'll try your child. He'll try your grandchild. Why? Because he wants to destabilize you. He wants you to go and get into a spiral of fear so that you can panic. And she goes to the man of God, not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then that's the Old Testament. Okay? She goes where she saw God. She goes to a person who's connected with God. She goes to an association which she was tied up to. She goes to a person that's been hearing from God and releasing what God has instructed him to release. And she's saying, she's calling upon an instruction. She's calling upon something that will stir the waters inside of her so that she can have a godly intervention in her life, because she was not going to give up her children to become slaves. Her children was covenant children. They had destiny all written up inside of them. They were set apart, sanctified by the Lord for greatness. But the enemy was after their greatness. The enemy was after their purpose. The enemy was after their call. I'm not going to let this happen. Elisha, I need you to speak. Elisha, you need to tell me. I need an instruction, Elisha. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what trauma you may be facing today. I want to say to you that God is greater than your trauma. I want to say to you today that go into your secret place, go and knock on heaven's door and receive something from the Lord, a word from the Lord for your situation. I want to say to you today that you press into the Lord and hear from God so that you can speak, so that you can do, so that you can execute, so that you can express God's will and God's intention in your circumstance. Oof. Associations are important. You know, we live in a heightened era of deception. Don't you stay hooked to the voices that cater for your lusts. You engage with the voices that fuels your relationship with Jesus Christ. The Word of God says she went to Elisha and she placed a claim. She placed a demand on her relationship with God, with the covenant they had as a family with God. She placed a claim on that association she had with Elisha. Elisha, you're a man of God. We served you well in this family. My husband was a God-fearing man. My husband sowed everything we have in the kingdom. I'm laying a claim on God today that we will not be, my children will not be slaves. They will be serving God. They will be free. They'll be liberated, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Give me a word. Give me an instruction. Stir the waters. Speak. No faith without instruction. That's what Pastor Wellington essentially said yesterday. Verse 2. Oh no, where am I now? Is it verse 2? So he asks her, what can I do to help you? Elisha asked, tell me, what do you have in the house? And she responds and says, nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil, she replied. Nothing. Elisha, we regressed so far and so badly, we've got nothing left. All I have is a little oil, a few milliliters of olive oil, most probably Obadiah's little flask of anointing oil. I don't know what you've got left today. Maybe you regress so far and you've lost so much that you may be just having a little faith left. That's fine. As long as it's small, it's going to be as small as a mustard seed. That's all you need, okay? Maybe you just got a little bit prayer life over. That's fine. Just start where you have what you have. Give what you have. Maybe you just got a little bit of hope left. That's fine. Start with you, what you have. Start with what you have. Just be sure that the key that you put into the ignition of your life today is the Holy Spirit's key. And that's what she did. Our daughter, we've got three children. All of them are in Europe. So Richelle, our youngest one, she studies in Haarlem University in the Netherlands. She phones us up in December. She says, Dad, Mom, can I bring two of my boyfriends with me? That's here, two, you know, but friends, like friends, but boyfriends, you know, men friends, okay? Not two boyfriends, two men friends, okay? Okay? You got that? We would like, otherwise, you know, can I bring them with me to the house for the festive season? Of course, otherwise they're going to be here on campus all alone. One's from the Middle East and the other one's from India. And I thought to myself, okay, no, I want to see who you're hanging around with. Bring them. That's fine. You can bring them. And so when they arrived, as my eyes got on the two men, I saw one with thick darkness. I saw one, and at the moment my eyes hit the man, God spoke to me. He said to me, the devil has sent her into Richelle's life because he wants to create a demonic pathway into her life. He's after her destiny. So that took me, I was like, oh my word, what am I going to do here? And so I went like, the only thing I know what to do, the best is to pray. So I went to my shed. I have to go and pray in the shed when we've got people at our house because I'll pray you right out of the place. Okay, so I need to be isolated. I need to be set apart. I need to be on my own. And I went into that shed of ours. It's quite a big shed. It's about probably 80 meters long. And I walked up -6 degrees. And I walked up and down that shed and I prayed. And then I saw what the enemy was trying to do in my daughter's life. And I went after that demon. I saw that demon. I got hold of that demon. I decapitated that demon. I took that demon by the collar and I evicted him from my daughter's life. And then God said to me, now you're going to speak to Richelle. So I walked into the house. I said to Richelle, Richelle, me and your mom wants to speak to you. And she sat down and we spoke to her very nicely. And I said to her exactly what the enemy was attempting to do in her life. And so she started crying. And then she said, but Dad, I feel for this man. So oh my word, the shed. I need to go and visit the shed again. And so we wrapped this up and I knew this is now, I need to go deeper here. I need godly intervention here. I need divine intervention in my daughter's life because that demon is after my daughter's destiny and I'm not going to give her up. I want to say to you, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up. You're a child of the King. And so I went into the shed and I didn't care how long it took. I walked out of the shed in the early hours of the morning. Because while I was praying, God showed me a vision of an angel that he's sending to Richelle. And the angel was ministering to her in the night season while she was sleeping. And the angel was shaking loose her destiny. And I knew the battle's won. So the next morning she called me and Sissin. So me and Sis, we go into the dining hall and we sit down. She says, listen, Dad, listen, Mom. The Lord spoke to me during the night. That man is not meant for me. Dad, can we put them on a bus? Let's send them back to the Netherlands. I said, yes, for sure. I'll pay the tickets. I'll get them there. I'll take them to the bus stop, which was 2 hours away, by the way. But I took them back to the bus stop. They were not meant for her. And I said, bye-bye. Most anointed words at times. Bye-bye. I'm going on. You see, there's destiny in the Tyson family. There's destiny in your life. Don't compromise with destiny. I love what Apostle Allen is teaching now, fourth dimension. You may be in prison today, guarded by the enemy, chained. In the natural, there's no way out. But wait for that angel. He's gonna show up and you're gonna think, what's hitting your house? Peter wasn't even knowing that this was real because his senses was heightened in the supernatural, in the fourth dimension. And his natural sentence was lowered. And he was just like walking and experiencing something in the kingdom. And everything just had to open up by itself. And boom, the prison door opened up by himself. And boom, he was liberated out of prison. And boom, he found himself completely free. And then when the angel did what he needed to do, and he found himself in the street, he said, wow, this is real. I want to say to you that God's about to surprise you. God is doing things in the latter days, my brother, my sister, that's going to shock you. But what's your level of expectancy? If you stop expecting God, you can go call Afbob because you're already dying. Hey! Hey! Wake up! Wake up! You can't come to church and think it's just going to be another service. You cannot put an offering into the basket or your offering receptacle and think it's just going to be another seed sowing thing. No, 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 no! Wake up! You have to wake up! Yes, like man. Ik raak zo opgewonden. Je vais commencer à prêcher en français là. I'll start preaching in French here, but it won't help at all. Listen, I have to go on. What do you have? Just that little bit, give it to God. Just make sure that you put it in the Holy Spirit's ignition. Be sure that you discern what God's intention is right there in the moment. Be sure that you stay in the secret place. Be sure that you maintain the secret place. Be sure that you are strengthened in the secret place. And be very careful about your associations. For then go into your house. Oh, wait. Okay. So Elisha gives her instruction. He says, and Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil in your from the flask into the jar. So go into your house. Gives her instruction. She and her sons, they go and get as many containers as possible. Empty containers. That word borrow is in Hebrew shahal. It means laying claim. It means put a demand on divine opportunities. She was in a community of prophets. They were sitting on divine opportunities and they weren't using them. You will compromise with anything that you don't value. Be sure that you value the Word of God. Be sure that you value your secret place. And gosh, if God could do it for her, He will do it for anyone. And so they got all those empty jars, and the Bible says She had to go into the house. Elisha said, you go into your house. Now, if you go into your house, you probably need to open the door, don't you? If you have to shut it behind you. Okay? So many Christians want God to open up doors for them, but they can't even open the door to their secret place. And because they don't maintain the secret place, they open doors in their lives that would take them a lifetime at times to shut again. Because they opened the wrong door. And it affects them for the rest of their life. She opens that door and she goes into the secret place. The man of God does not go with her. It's the only thing that's going with her is the instruction. She doesn't, what do you mean? Why must I get all these containers? What are Yeezy going to do? No. She follows. She doesn't ask questions. She doesn't debate. She doesn't want to have a conversation about this. Okay, I've got my instruction. Yes. I hear you. I'm getting all the containers I get. Okay, and then what happens? So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after the other. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more. Listen, this is devastating. She's in the flow. She's in the fourth dimension. A little flask, milliliters of, let's say 50 milliliters, is filling up liters in containers. And the supply just keeps going. As long as she gives the jar, as long as she presents capacity. So it's never about the supply. It's all about the capacity. It's all about the room we give God. Because God will fill every space as long as we give Him the room. And now her son says, no, there's nothing left. When I read that, I thought to myself, yes, see, I wonder if that son was fit enough. Maybe he could have run to the next village and gotten another 10 containers. Watch who you will never go higher than the people that's around you. Never. Who are you encircling yourself with? Who's in your circle? Who's got the right to be there? Because you'll never go further than the people that's around, even if it's family. I want to say, biological sons and daughters, hey, blood is thicker than water, but spirit is thicker than blood. Hey, and that's what I love about your children. Man of God. He's his biological father, but he's the man of God. That's a huge difference. Spiritual father and the natural father. My brother, my sister, see, when a man of God gives you an instruction, don't debate. When you know that he walks with God, don't debate. Hear what God is trying to say to you. Go and pray about it if you need to. But listen, if it resonates here, go and do it. Don't go. Go do it. Okay. Verse 7. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay for your debts. And you and your sons can live of what is left. So she came out of the house. You know what? I'm very sure she came out of the house not talking about her problems anymore. She started talking about her dream. She didn't walk out of the house talking about her past anymore. She came out of the house talking about her future. I want to say to you that dreams, my brother, my sister, will always face resistance. They'll always face obstacles. They'll always face limitations. But God, if He's given you that dream, you go follow the instructions. God will work it out for you. He'll find His way through you to establish what He needs to establish in your life. Because the steps of a righteous man, he's ordered by the Lord. Amen. And I have to finish up there. I'm 2 minutes over my time. Divine intervention. You see, when my daughter was under that attack, now we're still praying for one of our daughters. I'm telling you, I'm not giving the devil one inch in my children's lives anymore because I saw what the enemy can do. You don't joke around with the enemy. I still use the best word that you can use against the devil, and that is footsack. You tell that devil, footsack. You tell that devil, you get your filthy hands off my children. I want to say to you, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, quickly. This is my last scripture. I'm finishing up. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And God said to me, I knew Rachel before I formed her in sister's womb. And I declared destiny over her life. And the devil had to let go. The devil's got no choice. He has to footsack. God is raising up his destiny. Your house, that lady's house became a house of a magnet of destiny. Cornelius's house became a magnet of destiny. Peter's house became a magnet of destiny. They had to break into his house to get to Jesus. Why? Because it's a magnet of destiny. Your house is a magnet of destiny. It's God's house. It's God's family. And God will have his way in your family. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.